We again call your attention to the Gospel according to St. John. St. John, out of the sixth chapter this morning, I'm going to read verses 5 through 12, verse 26 and 27, and verse 51, all coming from St. John, the sixth chapter. Hallelujah, Jesus. Beginning at verse 5, the Bible reads, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him have God the Father sealed. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. On the basis of those verses this morning, we'd like to use a thought or thing. Don't throw away the leftovers. Don't throw away the leftovers. And him to say, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything. Everything. Little things, big things, hard things, soft things, everything that we are going through, we can carry it to the Lord in prayer. In prayer, we are thankful to God for what he's done and is yet still to do in our lives. And I'm sure this morning that we can all remember what a high and spiritual time we had on last Sunday morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Spirit of the Almighty God was in this place. And I stopped by the Community Mass Choir anniversary that evening, and I believe that anointing power of God was still in here because they were acting just like we were acting. Hallelujah, Jesus. I say, you saints, go ahead and shout on, but I'm going home. I'm tired. Hallelujah, Jesus. They saw me then, they seen me no more. Hallelujah. You can only do so much, but I'm thankful to the Lord thy God that when I did come in, the Spirit of the Almighty God was doing what he does, and that is work through our lives as he ministered to our needs and lift us up, even in song and through the word of God. And then I hear on Tuesday night that the senior choir were lifting up the name of Jesus in choir rehearsal. See, we got to realize that when we in choir rehearsal, we are still singing the same song. The words still have the same meaning. And we ought to be just as serious on Tuesday night as we are on Sunday morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So that lets me know that there were still some fragments of the spiritual leftovers. Hallelujah! Praise your God. Thanks, your God. And I'm inclined to believe that there's still some fragments in here right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a time. When all of God's children get together, what a time there's going to be. And I thank God, because David said that, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born forever, thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In other words, we serve and belong to a forever God. He was and ever has been our dwelling place. And even back to the days when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, God was their protecting shelter. That will not only watch over us, but he will feed us when we get hungry. Generations come and go, but God is a constant, ongoing being that is self-existent. He had no beginning and he has no end. The God I'm talking about will always be God. His son, whom we are taught about in the form of Jesus the Christ, the word says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our time here as human beings is brief upon the earth. But it's a good thing that as believers, we know that he will take care of us. Not only will he take care of us now, but he loves us so much that the Bible declares that he's already gone and prepared mansions for us. And because of those mansions, we owe God the glory and the praise. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? It's been said that every day is a day of thanksgiving. And no matter where we are in life, we all have something to be thankful for this morning. I thank God for the beautiful sunshine this morning. I thank God for allowing us another journey. I thank God that he woke us up this morning. Anybody glad that God reached down in your bedroom this morning and touched your body and allowed you another opportunity to just get up? And after getting up, God gave you a mind to go out to the house of God. And after coming to the house of God, we just want to tell God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for watching over me while I slumbered and while I slept. Thank you for taking care of my children when I wasn't there to take care of them. Thank you for being there, because you got that all watchful eye. And even though you are everywhere at one time, thank you, God, for looking beyond my faults. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody ought to be glad this morning that we serve a merciful, loving, compassionate God. If God held our wrongdoings to us, all of us would be lost this morning. But the Bible that I read says, but for by grace are ye saved. And grace is that unmerited favor of God toward you and I. Unmerited means you don't have to do anything. You can't pay for it. I don't care how much tithes and offering you pay. That person to sit beside you may not pay anything. But that money you pay don't buy you salvation. That money you pay don't give you a clear ticket into glory. But you got to trust in the power of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody ought to just think about one thing that the Lord God has done for you. One thing that you know, if it had not been for the Lord who interceded and stepped in on your behalf, that you wouldn't be where you are right now. If you just think about one thing that you know God did for you, then you ought to have a mind to tell God, thank you. I don't know about you, but I can give a whole list of things, Deacon Bobo, that God has done for me. And when I look back over my life and I see where God has brought us from,
give me a mind frame to tell God, thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. If I can preach with a tired body, you ought to be able to witness. Hallelujah. Now, we're very close to what we call Thanksgiving. And I wonder how many of you know that whether you got a turkey or not, if you just count it amongst the living on that day, then you got something to be thankful for. I know this morning that there are those of you that already started buying food, buying sugar and spices, picking up certain things to make sure that when you get there that you already got what you want in case the store run out. You know how it is when you get close to the holiday, there's something that everybody going to need a little bit of. You're going to bake some cakes, you're going to need some sugar, you're going to need some spices. And it seems like every time you don't have something that you really need, that's when you go to the store and all of a sudden the store is out. I wonder how many of you can remember the day when you could go next door to Sister Susie. Say, Susie, I just need a couple of cups of sugar. Susie give you some of her sugar and keep some sugar for herself. Now you better not go to nobody's house looking for no sugar. You'll get somebody to put you in check. You want some sugar? The food line is over on Main Street. I got to keep my sugar for myself. Sugar high. I've been laid off. I ain't got no sugar to be getting away. Don't act like we don't see a run out. And if you're from the old school, the first thing that comes to your mind, I wonder is, she got some. I got a neighbor down the road called Renee. And I was fixing some salmons one day and looked in there and didn't have any onion. You know you can't have salmon with no onion in it. That worried me to death. I didn't want to go to the store. I said, somebody run down there, Renee. I said, she got a load of onion that I can borrow. I buy a whole bag, but I want one onion right now. Lo and behold, she didn't have no onions either. And then she was the only one on the road that I would ask for something. You know, you can't ask everybody for nothing. And I don't want anything from everybody's house no how. And I said that so we can see where we have changed, because many of us that are at least 45 years of age can remember when mama or grandma or somebody said, go down there to such and such house and tell them I need this or I need that. And you didn't get no lip. All you got was what you needed. And tell them if they need anything else, tell them to let me know. Neighbors was real neighbors. If I got it, you got it. And we wonder why we are not blessed like we used to be blessed. We done got too selfish. Freezer running over, about to get freeze burn on the meat. Your neighbor hungry. As we get close to Thanksgiving, I just come to plant a seed that's very important, to gather up the fragments of God's blessings and don't throw away the leftovers. It seems as though year round, you can find somebody having a yard sale or a garage sale, getting rid of some of the things that they don't need or don't want anymore. Sometimes there are things that they never even use. You began to wonder, Lord, I wonder why they're selling this. It's brand new. And you get it for a little better than nothing. But it's clutter to them. It's something that they don't need anymore. It's something that they don't want. So they decide that I'm going to get rid of it. It's been said that one man's junk is another man's treasure. You ever notice how you can throw some stuff out? You ain't got to clean it up. Just set it out there by the road and sit there for a few minutes. I guarantee you by daylight, It's gone. It was junk to you, but to somebody else, it was a treasure. Sound junk, man. Bro, I'm trying to put in a bid this morning. If y'all got anything, call me. He'll roll that truck right on up there. He told us yesterday we climbed the mountain. I want to let everybody know I'm not handicapped. And I'm not going to act handicapped. And I thank God for your faith, brother. Because you can't control the accidents or the things that might happen in your life. But you got to walk on in faith. You got to walk in your season. You got to forget about the negative and know that God's going to make a way anyway. Hallelujah! Then there's another saying. What done got old to you? Brand new to somebody else. Some people that can take some of the things that you don't want anymore and they'll treasure it. They'll use it until it can't be used anymore. There's some folk that have been blessed by God and they just get tired of the furniture that they got and they decide, I want something new, and they just set it on out there. Old to them, but brand new to somebody else. Most of us, when we buy an automobile, we don't buy many brand new cars anymore. Say, I got me a new car. They say, a new car? You say, oh, it's not new. It's just new to me. It might be an 80-something or a 90-something, but I didn't have nothing last week. So it's new to me. It takes me from A to B. And I'll see you later. I ain't never been too proud to ride in anything that'll roll. If your seat dirty, I'll bring me a towel and put it down and sit on down anyhow. I come up having to borrow somebody's car. Thank God for good friends. But for my brother-in-law Larry Davis, I don't know what I'd have known about driving. Mama didn't have no car. But it's good to have a friend. It's good to have somebody that'll love you enough, trust you enough to let you have their automobile. And sometimes we forget where we come from. We forget those that reached out a helping hand to us when we were coming along. Don't forget those ones that blessed you when you were coming along. That's why we can't go and do like we used to do and go and borrow this or borrow that, because we done forgot where we come from. We all up in it now. He still don't have nothing. We gotta learn how to make good of our leftovers. Some of us got folk in our family that will brag and boast about the fact that I don't do leftovers. Anybody know somebody like that? I don't eat no leftovers. I ain't never had that problem. I found out when I was a young boy. Pinto bean tastes a whole lot better the second day than they did the first day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That broth be done got just right. We got folks talking about what they don't eat. I had my days. Something that I didn't eat. I learned how to eat some of the things that I used to not eat. Now, there's still some things that I won't eat. But I'm not saying I'm not going to never eat it. Because push comes to shove, if that's all you got, I'm going to make a way for it to get down some kind of way. See, we live in a time where folk get stuff all the time. And I can remember when they had coconut cake. I didn't want no coconut cake. But if I wanted to taste the sugar in my mouth, I pick the coconut sauce. We are preparing a feast. There was a time, if you can remember, when you were growing up, we didn't have all those sides. Didn't have two or three meats. Most of us didn't have a turkey. We had a big fat hen. Anybody in my hen school? Now you try to act like you all that. If I don't have turkey and dressing, I'm not having Thanksgiving. You a lie. If you got breath in your body, if you got an appetite and you can eat, if it's baloney. Thank you, God, for the baloney, because somebody out there don't have nothing. Times are too hard and food is too expensive for us to throw so much stuff away. You're going to cook more for Thanksgiving, and I'm going to move on. I didn't preach last week, so can I just preach today? And you got to understand that it's a blessing to be able to have what she like and he like and they like, to have all of this wonderful stuff. But if you can remember back when you didn't have but a little bit, you had a piece of meat and a couple of sides and a dessert. But I go to some folk that I know that's supposed to be poor folk, and they got food everywhere you can see. Then they got some food you can't see, because they're not going to run out of food. It is always better to have too much than not enough. Talking to the skimpers now. Let me go here. As believers, when we don't have, we know that somehow, some way, God is going to intercede and supply our need. These are the times that we get strength from the bread of life, to keep us strong and to help us to make it through our rough times. When we look here in the gospel according to St. John, the Bible says that Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and you were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him have God the Father sealed." Here Jesus talks about himself as being the bread of life, and that when we come to him, we will never go hungry, neither will we ever be thirsty. Sometimes we are too concerned about eating physical food. And as you know, we all like what we like. There are foods that we turn our noses up and we pass over, but there is somebody. There's somebody that would smash that food if they just had an opportunity to get their hands on it. We ought to be thankful for the thing that God allows us to have. As poor as we are, God has still been good to us. And we take our blessings for granted. I find it a privilege and a blessing just to be able to decide what I want to eat one day or to another. Think about it. Think about it. Be realistic for a moment. Most of us, we decide our menu for the week. We decide what we're going to eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Then we decide on the weekend we're not going to cook. We're going to go out. Then we decide on Sunday we're going to have this for our Sunday dinner. But how about those folk that can't make a decision because they don't have nothing to decide on? There's some folk that if rice is all they got, then they're going to eat rice 7 days a week. And you might say, "I'm tired of eating rice," but if that's all that you got, you sit down and before you eat that rice, you still thank God for the rice. You ever notice how when we get hungry, get grumpy, get mean, get irritable and restless, some of you get nervous, because you know that there's certain things in your body system now that if you don't have certain things in there, then your body is going to want that and it's going to crave that. And because you are not giving that body what it wants, it feels a sense of rejection. There's some folk that get so hungry they start shaking. There's some folk get light in the head. They say, you know, I think all I need is just a little something to eat. So I find this morning that eating is very important. But we got to realize that when we get too hungry and we begin to constantly grumble and complain. The Bible says, as we look at our text, after these things, when Jesus went up to the Sea of Galilee, that a great multitude followed him and they saw the miracles that he had already did because he had healed so many people of all kinds of diseases. The Bible says Jesus went up into the mountain and there he sat with his disciples. As he sat there with the disciples, the Bible says that the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now, we got to understand that the Passover was a feast of unleavened bread, a ritual, a reminder of their freedom from slavery, of their freedom from Egypt. There was a time when they were able to remember what God had done for them when they were wandering around in the wilderness. Now, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, the Bible said that he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So here, this lets us know that Jesus was concerned about the people of God having sufficient food to eat. And as he looked at the great company of people, he began to ask a question, "Philip, where are we going to get food enough for them to eat?" Now, the Bible says, if you go with me, that this was to prove that he himself knew what he was going to do. He knew that Philip didn't have no earthly idea. They didn't have enough money to go and get enough food to feed all of these people. The 7th verse said, Philip asked him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. So now look at this scenario. We have Jesus talking to Philip, and Philip is talking with Jesus about feeding all of these people. And the money that they have, they realize that even if we spend everything that we got, all that we get is not going to be enough that everybody in here can get a little bit. Now stick on that little bit for a moment. Now, the Bible says that one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he said unto him, "There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." Then the question is proposed, "But what are they among so many people? 5 loaves of bread, 2 little fish, and all of these multitudes of people." But we forgot about who you're talking to. Whenever you got a situation and you put it in the hands of God, God has a way of making things change. God is able this morning to take a little bit and make it stretch out to be a lot. For the Bible said, Jesus said, "Make all the men sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so they sat down in the number of about 5,000. So here we got 5,000 men, and of course, along with those men are women and children. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. One thing we got to know is that when God gives the increase, we got to learn how to be obedient and do what God tells us to do. For I found out that when I need just a little bit more of a blessing, all I got to do is open up my mouth and ask God to step right on in. So I find that God stepped in and he took these 5 loaves of bread. He took these 2 fish, and after he had given thanks, the Bible says that he multiplied it and he began to give it out to the disciples. Then the disciples began to distribute it to the people of God. The Bible says when they were all filled, that he said unto his disciples. You see, at first they were concerned about everybody getting a little bit. But now that God has stepped in, everybody can get all that they want. For over 5,000 folk ate all the bread, ate all the fish that they want. They got full that they wanted to get. When the question was asked, does anybody want anything else? Everybody said, I've had my fill. I've ate until I can't eat no more. But Jesus said, go up and gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing shall be lost. In other words, don't throw away the leftovers. There's going to be a need for the leftovers. After a while, all you got to do is trust God. And if you know God as your bread of life, he'll feed you when you get hungry. He'll make a way out of no way. I stopped by to tell somebody, don't throw away your leftovers. There's somebody that is less fortunate than you are. And you can take those leftovers and give them to somebody else. Every day we ought to be thankful to God that he said, I am the bread of life. And if I eat of this living bread, this bread that came down from heaven, if I eat of this bread, I shall live forever. One thing about trusting the power of God, the Lord will make a way out of no way. Don't throw away the leftovers, but from day to day, be mindful that when you have a little bit left over, it'll come in handy after a while. I even learned that when I go out to eat, if I can't eat everything on my plate, if there's some meat on that plate, it's going with me. Because I might not eat it right then, but after a while, I'm going to take that leftover. I'm going to take that doggy bag. I'm going to get it back out the refrigerator. Throw it in the microwave. Heat it up just a little bit. Then it's going to taste just as good. It might even taste better. Because every now and again, you're hungrier than you thought you was. But I come to tell somebody that when you get this peace from God, and God bless you day after day, and you have some stuff left over, don't throw it out to the trash. Because there's children hungry, not necessarily over across the sea, but you got some folk right here in Parkertown. You got some folk in Lexington, North Carolina, that is hungry this morning. So, Foul Chapel, let us not forget that we got a food bank going on, and bring us some perished goods. Don't let our box be empty, because we got to help somebody that don't have what we have. So you got to hold on to your leftovers and make them useful for somebody else. Don't throw away your leftovers, but learn that they can be just as good or better the next day around. Costs too much to throw all that stuff away. But if you just let God know that I appreciate what you gave me. And one thing about it, we would have more to work with. Our resources, they would extend and they would last longer if we stopped throwing so much stuff away. Most of us do it. And then I know that it is a true fact. So you got to know how to cook. You know how it is. You say, well, I ate that yesterday. I didn't eat something today. I didn't eat something for lunch. I just don't want no more spaghetti. Anybody else been there? See, we got something that'll scratch way out. And it just seemed to just, I don't care how much you eat, just seemed like it's still some more of it. And it's still some more of it. And I called somebody I know likes spaghetti. Say, I got some sauce over here. And I don't want to throw it away. Remember that there's somebody that can use what is no good to you anymore. Now, don't give somebody something that's spoiled or something that's bad. We wouldn't do that, but I have to say it anyway. But when you give somebody something, if you are on the receiving end, especially if you don't have much, don't be crazy enough to look like you don't want it. Don't be so disrespectful and not even say, I appreciate what you're giving me. You know how some folk, you bring them a loaf of bread. Lord, this wheat bread. I don't eat wheat bread. Well, if you get hungry enough and you don't have no bread, don't you think that wheat might taste pretty good? We have to start with our children. Oh, we don't ruin them. The New Day children, plumb ruin. I want nuggets. I want nuggets. Somebody need to get the ladies behind back in the kitchen. Scramble these babies up some eggs. Fix these babies some grits so they'll know what real food is about. Fix them babies some grits that gonna stay with them. Not only for that 2 minutes, them nuggets go straight through. But to keep their mouth shut, to keep from hearing all that noise, you're going to stop it. It's better for me to get them nuggets. But be careful, because if we don't train them how to appreciate and how to sit there, and this is what you're going to eat today or you're not going to eat. How many of us need some lessons in tough love? Hallelujah, Jesus.